You may be seated. This morning, we are diving into the unsettling story of Jesus rejecting his family. A surprising topic for me to be focusing on, since I am the director of Children, Youth, and Families here. This story is often tucked away or skipped over because of the fear of facing a Jesus who turns from his mother, brothers, and sisters. No one wants to see this side of Jesus, to acknowledge moments like this when he seems to make a mistake or come off mean and hurtful. But this morning, we won't see this text as scary. We will look at it as a challenge to find the message, the truth that Jesus tries to get at with this bold, very public reaction. Our story opens up this morning with something that we are all very familiar with in today's culture: gossip and assumptions. The word on the street is that Jesus is crazy. He has been possessed by a demon that somehow has given him the ability to cast out other demons. Now, since Jesus didn't have a Facebook account or an Instagram, or he didn't tweet his sermons from his Twitter account, his family had to go off of what they were told. They had to rely on others to know of his well-being. And unfortunately, that means that they have heard he's nuts. Now, everyone has that one family member that they kind of don't seem to fit into the family. Maybe they are a bit out there, maybe they're rude or insensitive, or maybe they give you those really long, awkward hugs and talk to you for an hour about how their dog did the funniest thing the other day. Now, that one is normally me. But despite the reason, regardless of the reason, there is always that one family member, or that at least one family member, who you dread to see at the family reunions. Well, this is who Jesus' family thought he was turning into: that loony guy who talks too much about things that nobody understands. Now, today, we would simply avoid said awkward family member by diving behind the picnic table at the family picnic. But in Jesus' time, this family member would bring great shame and could even cause social and financial trouble for the family. This would have been especially true in Jesus' case. The fact that Joseph is not mentioned in this text alludes heavily to the notion that he is dead at this time, leaving Jesus the oldest brother and therefore the head of the household. So Mary does what I think any normal parent would do for their disturbed son. She gathers up the kids and she goes to get them. They set out to get Jesus, the head of their household, and bring him home to care for him. The only problem is that by the time they reach Jesus, the crowd around him is so thick that it's impossible for all of them to get through. Now, we're not talking about that sweet image of Jesus with those quiet, well-behaved children sitting underneath of a blossoming tree, but more like the crowd at the front of a stage at a Beyoncé concert. So, because the family is outside the crowd, they send someone to get the message to Jesus that they are here, waiting for him outside, thinking that once they hear this message, Jesus will come to them. Well, Jesus receives this message and does what? Replies with, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Here are my mother and my brothers." Ouch. Not the big "I love you, Mom" response that I'm sure Mary was looking for, right? Not only that, but how embarrassing for the family to be dismissed by Jesus in such a public way, in front of a crowd that knows very well how important family is in their culture. Now, while it's easy for us to sit here and create a sad image in our minds of Mary standing outside the crowd with tears in her eyes and Jesus' brothers and sisters yelling at each other in anger, "How dare he do this to Mom?" let's take a step back and turn our attention to Jesus. Jesus has been traveling with his disciples, spreading God's message to anyone who will listen, approaching anyone and everyone in the street, the temple, their homes, trying to have some kind of contact with everyone. Why? Because every person Jesus met was someone he knew he was going to die for. The child in the street that ran to him and gave him a big hug. The old woman that spit on him and told him he was crazy. The man who assaulted a woman and then had her stoned to death. Every person Jesus met was someone he knew he was going to die for. This burden, this unbelievable fact that knocked the wind out of Jesus every morning when he woke up, motivated him to meet everyone he could, to show them God's grace and love in human form. Now, if we keep this in mind, and we look at Jesus' family from his point of view, things start to change drastically in this story. His family is not mentioned as having traveled with him throughout his ministry. They are not mentioned among those who listened at his feet. His family has been out of touch from his ministry, and Jesus knows it. At this point, Jesus knows better than to think that his family has come to support his ministry. They have come to stop it. He knows that they have fallen for the gossip in the community because they haven't seen him in quite some time. They haven't been following his ministry up close and personal. He knows that talking to them will do no good and will only waste precious time that could be spent with those he hasn't met. Now, I know what some of you are thinking out there, especially the mothers in the room. So what? So what if his family had fallen for the gossip? His mother still painfully gave birth to him for hours. They are still his family, and he should have gone to see them and explain himself to them privately, right? Well, to this I say that Jesus was not about subtlety. Jesus was a 200% all-in, no funny business, no waste of time type of person. He had to be. Jesus was simply not the type of person to take away time from a mob of eager listeners to explain himself to people standing outside the crowd who had had the best seat in the house to his ministry and had lost it. So what kind of message can we get from this story? Jesus' family was outside the circle, outside the scene, and outside of Jesus' ministry at this moment in time. In this particular story, his family represents the outside Christians, those who fall away from Christ's ministry, those who haven't seen his work in a while or heard his message in some time, and now have to assume things about Christianity and about Christ himself. It's those Christians who have to play catch up. What I think this passage is really trying to highlight here is not Jesus' rejecting or rebuking his family. It's not trying to convey a lack of love or respect. Instead, it's the importance of being inside the circle, of being an intentional Christian, of being here as my mother and my brothers. Our job as Christians is not to stand outside the circle, waiting for Jesus to come to us and reveal himself to us like his family expected, but it's to be on the inside of the circle, to crave so intensely that relationship with Christ that we claw our way through the crowd to sit at his feet. If you noticed this morning, I had a few reserve signs placed on the back pews in an attempt to get you to sit a little bit closer to the front. It kind of worked. I wanted to add this physical element to the message this morning to help show us some of the ways we can be more intentional in our faith. Our desire for Christ should inspire us to be as close as possible to the traditions of this church. We should want to be so close to the front that we can see the highlights on the preacher's notes. As some of you know, we had VBS this past week here at the church, and as I started each morning with announcements and songs and some skits led by the youth, I noticed that each day the kids would scoot a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer to the front. At the end of each day, I would ask questions of what did you learn and what was your favorite part about VBS, and every day I noticed the kids' hands shot up faster and faster and faster. I could see the excitement building on these kids' faces. I could see them as intentional Christians. Now, I know that today we can get so easily pulled away from Christ's ministry through the chaos that this world sucks us into, the constant events, the overwhelming schedules. But we have to fight this by making time for Christ and following his ministry up close and personal and getting excited about our faith. We can't show up late and get stuck outside the crowd like Mary. To be an intentional Christian is to put in the effort to fight our way to the front of the crowd, because you are one of those people Jesus died for, and he does not deserve to be waved at from a distance or shouted at from outside of the crowd. Amen.